Welcome to the Dumb Weebs Podcast. I am VLord GTZ, and with me, I have my fellow weebs. First up, we have J-Mac.
Hello.
Next, we have Laser Kid.
Howdy, people.
And lastly, we have Allison.
Hello. VLord, what are we doing here? This isn't Demon Slayer Podcast.
Yeah, I don't see a Tundra or a Muzan anywhere, that's for sure.
Yeah, we've decided to trade in Tanjiro and Muzan for Subaru and whoever is the main villain of ReZero, depending on what arc you're on.
Yay!
But we're not talking about like the ReZero like TV anime today. We're talking about one of the OVAs. The second ReZero OVA, The Frozen Bond. Which is essentially a backstory of sorts for Emilia and Puck.
Yay, Puck.
All the fun stuff with them.
Yup. One interesting thing to note about this is that it is based off a short story that was released with the limited edition version of the ReZero Blu-ray set in Japan. And I believe it was written by Tape Nagatsuki himself, but it's safe to say this is not one of his stronger pieces of writing.
It's not bad, but it's not nearly as intricate as I'm used to for ReZero.
And we can get into that, because there are definitely reasons why it's written this way, and... Without going into spoilers, we can talk about that after we kind of summarize what happens in this, which is not much, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, and if you are coming into this, you know, just know that this is a spoiler talk.
Yeah, I don't think you can get out of this one without spoilers, because, like we said, there's not much happened here, so we're pretty much going to talk about it.
Yeah,
and then not much that happened in like three little, there were like three little flashes that especially where a lot happened.
That's true.
Honestly, I didn't know how long this was going in. I thought it was just like 45 minutes, like initially, but then I looked at the actual time and it's like an hour and 12 minutes. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
How is this an hour and 12 minutes?
They probably could have cut out at least like 10 minutes of it.
They could have cut out, like, 30 minutes.
Probably. Like, honestly, almost none of it mattered?
I wouldn't say almost none of it mattered, because there was a lot of stuff where a seed was planted that would then grow later.
That is true. And but they could have spent a lot less time on those seeds and just been like, okay, here's the thing.
Well,
some of them definitely needed the depth, definitely. I guess we could probably just go into it.
Yeah, so our story essentially starts near a snowy kind of mountain area near like the Elior Forest. And inside this area is where a young Emilia is kind of living, just kind of isolated from society. And every day she's like cleaning off these ice statues of these elven people, but with her, like, from time to time is Puck, and at this point, like, Puck and Emilia aren't technically, like, in a contract. Puck's just kind of there, just hanging around, because I guess that's what Puck feels like doing when he's a wandering spirit.
Who knows? We do get some kind of a sign of what he's doing, because we get flashes on the screen of kind of a directive for Puck, where he's basically there to protect her, but he's not supposed to get overly involved.
Yeah, they're very cryptic about it for reasons.
Yes. I think they go like...
Oh, no, go ahead, Lacer.
The main pieces I picked up is, yo, protect her, don't get too involved, because if you get involved, you won't be you anymore. And I'm just sitting here going, I don't see a difference between the before and after. Spoilers, there's an after.
Yeah, so the early parts of this kind of OVA are just kind of...
I have my hunches about that, and I'll get to those later.
So the early parts of this OVA are basically Puck and Emilia kind of just chilling. Amelia kind of visits this town near, like, the forest, where she'll, like, trade in, like, I think things she finds in the forest for, like, food and, like, shoes and stuff. And, like, she seems to have, like, a rapport with, like, the old man that's there. And, like, at first, like,
yeah, he seems like the shopkeep dude.
Yeah, the shopkeep dude. At first, like, he seems kind of nice. Yeah. He, like, gives her some new shoes just for the heck of it.
He knew she needed them before she asked.
Yeah, he's looking out for her, or so it seems. But then one day, Amelia goes wandering around for stuff, and this group of bandits show up.
Random McPeople decide, yeah, no, you're going to be our slave. We're going to use you because, you know, when I'm a slave and I go looking for people, I go in the middle of dangerous woods because that's the smart way to do it, right, guys?
Wait, what? Yeah. Are you talking about the guys who came to, like, attack her?
Yeah.
There was more to it than that. They probably heard rumors, like, down the grapevine and came to that village and asked, hey, we hear there's an elf around here or whatever it was, or a demi.
Right. I get that they were going for something exotic. But it's like, you if you're going to go for something exotic in a dangerous place, you don't send four random the dudes.
But these four random the dudes seem like they
seem dumb enough to do it. So
yeah, they seem pretty dumb.
I'm not criticizing the right.
Brian, you definitely send someone disposable to do that kind of a job.
Yeah, you do.
And you send lots of disposable people because you want the job done.
I mean, there are a fair amount of disposable people for who they'd assume is a normal, like, young elf girl.
Remember, they didn't know that this was going to be, oh shit, a half-elf. They thought, it's just a regular old elf girl or non-human, demi-human, or whatever.
They did think it was a demi-human. You're right about that.
Yeah, but, suddenly, like, a monster shows up, just, like, kind of a wild animal beast, and starts, like, ransacking all the bandit people.
Yeah, it's like a giant monster. It's like a crocodile or something.
Yeah, and this kind of also freaks out Amelia, because it's causing a lot of chaos. And it causes her magic to activate, which is pretty effed up.
Yeah, hey, I'm going to create ice crystals on you, and they're going to drain the blood out of you. Whoa.
Yeah.
Did not know she could do that.
I guess we kind of forgot to talk about the prelude at the beginning of the OVA.
Oh, where it's like, she tries to save some guys, and it doesn't quite go so well for her.
Yeah, super young Amelia tries to save this family from a monster, and she accidentally injures one of the father. And, when they start calling her a monster, like, she starts freaking out more. It's kind of assumed that she killed them.
Unintentionally, but yeah, it does appear like her powers. She just got emotional. Her powers got away from her.
Which is pretty effed up.
Yeah. That's
what I call her the witch lady.
Yeah, because obviously Amelia looks like Satella, so everyone thinks she's Satella.
Yeah.
Hooray. She's had a rough time. Like, even before the jerk faces show up, she's like, I said more words than I normally say. Before you know it, I'll be talking about the weather. And I'm just like, I feel that.
Honestly, for as much problems as this OVA has, Amelia's, like, actual characterization is actually pretty good. Like, you definitely feel sorry for her.
Yeah, the plot was the less important part of this.
100%.
It was definitely a character. It was definitely character-driven, not so much plot-driven.
Yeah, for sure. But anyways, back to Amelia freaking out in front of the bandits and the monster. Just as about, like, her powers are going to kill everyone, Puck comes to the rescue and deactivates the magic with, like, his own magic. Because he's Puck. He can do anything.
Yeah.
Puck is just great here, and he's all like, hey, you know, if it was me, I'd just kill you guys. But she wanted you to live, so get out of here, and if you do anything, I'll kill you.
The sheer dissonance between, like, how he acts, like, in front of Amelia and how he acts in front of everyone else is just amazing. Like, just his, like, villainous, like, antagonistic face is just, like, pure gold.
Yes.
Because, like, after this, like, one of the bandits, like, runs back to their boss, and Puck has already made it there and, like, basically blackmailed that bandit into, like, basically being kicked out. It's like, just so good.
It's like, yeah, no, sorry. Bye.
Yeah, and during this interaction with, like, the boss of, like, the bandit organization, like, Puck is referred to as, like, the Beast of the End.
Yes, that's what it was.
And,
well, at first we don't know that that's what Puck is referred to as. He just asks Puck, is this the Forest of the Beast of the End? And Puck's
oh,
like,
that's right.
I'll tell you yes if you promise never to tell anyone else.
Silence or I'll kill you.
I thought they covered in the anime, or was I thinking of the light novel again?
I think they definitely did mention it at some point in the anime. Or at least, I think it was Beetlejuice that mentioned it.
I'm familiar enough with the term because I remember hearing it. I don't remember where, but I know I've heard it in the anime, and I've not read any of the books, so there you go.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Beetlejuice, or however you say his name.
Beetlejuice.
Crazy Matsuoka.
Yeah, just Crazy Matsuoka. That's his new name. Why does he have to have such a complicated spelling?
My brain trembles!
Yes, my brain trembles at this OVA.
Oh, gosh.
What makes you say that, V-Lord?
Because it's so slow.
Oh.
It is a little of that, but I have to agree, the character moments are worth it.
Yeah.
But it is slow.
But yeah, after that, like, one bandit's chased out of, like, their hideout, like, this, like, fiery, like, spirit thing comes and, like,
shoots at it. Oh, it's my favorite thing! My favorite thing in the universe! The butthole fire spirit, horse spirit, that doesn't know the meaning of words it says.
Yeah, and it turns out this thing is, like, it's a spirit called, Milakiera, which, is supposed to be, like, a mediation spirit of sorts, and, like, it's seeking out, the half-demon, which is supposed to be a half-elf who looks like Satella, and it wants to kill, essentially, Amelia to ensure that Satella can't exist. Yeah.
That's so, like, yeah. I don't think
it understands the word mediation very well.
It just talks in half sentences, too. It's so weird.
Yeah. The fact that it does that drove me up the wall, too. I'm like, learn to speak. Speech is unnecessary. Then why are you talking? Definitely pushed, like, all my buttons.
Yeah. But, shortly after this, Amelia goes back to that town that she got goods from before. And, like, everyone's now hiding inside. And, like, the old man that she was used to trade with is now, like, apologizing. Because, like, it turns out, like, he ratted her out to the bandits. And, like, we basically learned that he's just afraid of Amelia like everyone else. Like, he didn't actually, like, genuinely care for Amelia, which is depressing.
No, no. I'm going to correct you there.
Amelia's whole life just
We didn't learn that from him. Amelia forced him to be afraid of her when she removed her hood.
Well, like, even before that, it was, like, pretty clear, like, he didn't really care for her.
Yeah, well, I mean, that, but also, I think he cared enough to notice things, and he was obviously really sorry about what he did, but, like, clearly the village comes first.
Yeah, that's fair.
He cares, but he has priorities.
Hmm. Yeah, I could see that.
That was more my read as well. Like, I actually got the feeling that he, like, maybe not, like, seriously cared about her, but enough to be like, hey, you're cool. I want to help you out a little bit here. Oh, crap, our village is under attack and they want something. She's over there.
Yeah, I guess, like, it would be more, like, fleeting attachment to her. Like, it's not strong enough where, like, he would protect her necessarily, but it's, like, strong enough where, like, he'll at least, like, be a good person if, like, it benefits him.
I get the feeling it was more just, until there was a problem, I don't think there would have been a problem, basically.
Yeah, that is actually the best way of saying it, now that I think about it.
Like, if the bandits didn't show up, he wasn't going to go proactively sell her out. It was, oh, they're looking for her and they'll destroy us. Well, if it's us or her, it's us.
Yep.
Yeah, but I guess going back to what J-Mac was saying, like, that scene with, like, Amelia taking off her hood, probably one of my favorite scenes in this OVA, simply because it's, like, you can really see, like, Amelia's at her lowest point at that point.
Oh, yeah. It really, really hurts. Like, this whole OVA is basically just Amelia's no good bad day.
Yeah, it essentially is.
Amelia's whole life in general is just everybody either is afraid of her or wants to kill her because they're afraid of her. Except for Subaru and the Maid.
Yeah, it does give some good context for why Subaru does have the effect on her that he does.
Subaru is kind of an idiot, though, but that's okay.
He's a lovable idiot, though.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with a lovable idiot. But yeah, after this, like... I guess one thing worth mentioning is that, like, Amelia's having, like, these dreams about, like, her past, and it's, like, all fragmented, because, like, she doesn't really, like, completely remember, like, her time, like, when, like, before everyone got frozen around her, but, like, she has, like, bits of pieces here and there, and, like, she's hearing, like, the voice of, like, some woman, and, like, it's apologizing to her, but she's not sure why.
It was hard to see that because there was, like, ice and snowflakes on the screen, so I couldn't tell what was happening.
Yes, and that's very intentional, because Arc 4 foreshadowing. Ooh. Oh, but yeah, anyways, one day some mysterious black slime shows up and is heading towards the town.
And first it fights some, like, a mob beast.
First it eats a mob beast.
Oh, right, I forgot about the mob beast, because, like, the mob beast was super forgettable.
It's a little nothing stupid thing that happens, but that's how Amelia first notices. She's like,
yeah.
What the heck
is like, and then she fights, her. Like, the mob beast, and then, like, part of the mob beast escapes, and that causes the big black slime.
No part of the mob beast escapes at all. The slime eats the mob beast. And then she freezes that slime, and then she's telling Puck about it, and Puck's like, oh no, you didn't actually kill it. The fact that you left it behind means it's still alive and ran away.
Well, yeah, so wasn't that the other part of the slime?
Of the slime, yes.
Okay, yeah, that's right.
There was a misunderstanding on the mobbies versus the slime.
Yeah, so Amelia goes after the black slime stuff, because she's a good person.
Yeah.
And
she's got these little spirits with her that Puck got her to have around her when Puck can't be around her to help her.
Yeah. And meanwhile, Puck has to deal with Melikiera. Everyone's
favorite fire butthole spirit.
Dollar Store Rapidash.
Oh my god, yes. That is kind of what it is.
Yeah.
Rapidash, the Gen
1-1
or the Gen
6-1? The Gen 1-1, because the Gen 1-1 is like... Pure fire instead of, like, the rainbow?
Fire fairy?
Yeah? Yeah, anyways, it's just Dollar Store Rapidash here, like, trying to fight Puck, and, like, it's this pretty well-animated sequence of Puck fighting, like, Melikiera, and then we learn, oh no, this is all part of Melikiera's master plan! He caused the slime!
How unexpected!
I wouldn't have guessed! This is such a big reveal. Way. I am shocked.
You mean random
slime? That's not entirely what we learned. I mean, it was a revelation that the two things, it wasn't just a coincidence. That was a revelation in and of itself. Because it could have well been that the slime existed and Melikiera was being a dickhole. Those could have been two separate things. But no, we learned that he was the cause of the slime. And he was doing it to frame Amelia.
Because that's what mediators do.
Frame her so much as trap her.
Yeah, I read it as like an ambush. Because like, his whole point is like he's just trying to kill Amelia. He doesn't care what other people think of Amelia, because he believes that Amelia is the problem.
He didn't care if he trashed the whole goddamn forest to kill her, so why would he care about throwing a blob at her? That's fine.
Because this is how mediation works.
Yes, mediation. You know, Jarek, you and I will talk when we're mad at each other and trying to work things out, and then one of us will kill the other, and then that's mediation, right?
Yes.
That's just called problem solving.
Oh, God. Such a great villain, guys.
I mean, it did manage to severely upset me, so it works on that level.
That's good. Or is that bad?
I mean, it's a good antagonist because it pissed me off enough, like, and not because it's badly written, but because it's annoyingly bad.
That's a change from the usual light novel villain, I guess.
Yes, but it's bad in ReZero's case because ReZero has good villains.
Well, yes. All I'm saying is it made me hate it, and in that level, it succeeds.
Hooray!
Hooray!
I hate it because it's a jerk.
Also, seriously, its design is so hard to, like, actually look at. Because, like...
It's randomly going all over the place.
Yeah, and it's like, why is this horse here? Why does it need to be here?
My best guess, but I don't have... It doesn't tell us, but I just kind of half assumed it was, like, a guardian of the area or something.
Well, yeah, that's the assumption, but, like, why a horse for the design? Like... Anything else?
Petition, why is this horse here for episode title? Please?
I'm dying right now.
Well, it's the horse because of, it's a horse, of course.
Amelia is kind of led by this, like, red spirit. Totally not suspicious.
No. I follow red spirits, man. There's nothing bad about glowing red spirits. That's never a bad thing.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, and, like, this essentially culminates in, like, the red spirit turning out to be an apostle of Melikera, which is, like, a fused version of, like, that bandit that ran away in, like, Melikera's power, which is... interesting, I guess.
Okay, so I'm confused. Did this horse, like, eat him and then combine the power with his power?
I think it, like, fused his soul with the bandit or something, and then it became that thing.
I was confused on that, too. Like, did he fuse with it, but then later got unfused? I don't understand what happened.
Well, I think...
Okay, here's what I think happened. Clearly, Mr. Horse Dick Man... That came out entirely wrong. God damn it, no!
It's perfect, though. It fits.
Okay, clearly the asshole in the shape of a horse can split himself up into multiple entities.
That's what I assume, too. Like,
so
it was like him having, like, shadow clones. Except fire horses.
He used with that guy because he knew... He basically viewed that guy as more of a useful idiot. He viewed him as a way so that he could have even just used a lesser spirit to do it, but I don't entirely know how it worked. But he did that and so that he would have a separate entity with its own mind that was able to focus on Amelia while he focused on Puck.
My brain just registered it as, like, Bandit Man left the office with Mustache Guy and Puck.
Oh my
god. Ripped into the woods and then got eaten by the horse demon dude. And then the horse, like, threw him back up and he had some of the spirit powers. Like, that's how my brain registered it. But it felt more complicated than that and something was missing because, you know, light novel anime like to cut out all the
Well, and if it was supposed to be a different guy, like, a different entity, why does it still talk like Butthole's poor spirit of
dumbness? It was so dumb. And, like, Amelia's asking
the guy, but he doesn't talk like that guy. He has the memories and the mentality
Shit! Before we get to this, there were some very, very important things that happened before we even found out that this guy was on fire. Okay?
Okay.
It happened when, like, it was... So the slime thing caught up to her.
Yes.
There was, like, no escape.
Yes.
That's right. I know where this is going.
And she like, says, no, I can't let this happen. And then she, like, has a huge power outburst.
She goes Super Saiyan.
During this power burst, we see some significant flashbacks.
All right. I forgot.
The things that me and Meowth didn't notice until you pointed them out. Yeah.
Yes. It is hit with a whole truckload of plot in about 5 seconds.
Now, I can't believe you pointed all that stuff out, and my stupid brains didn't see it because it went by so fast.
Yeah.
So we see, for one, we see the elves being frozen. So that establishes this. I mean, and then we see either a short-haired Amelia or a different half elf.
I will tell you right now, that's not Amelia. That is a different half elf.
I knew it. I thought it was.
And then Jarek was like, yeah, no, that's not. And I'm like, oh, okay. I guess that makes sense.
And then we also see fucking Betelgeuse.
Yep.
Yeah. I missed that entirely.
But he's not psychotic at that point, and he's crying, and he's holding...
Crying and holding someone's hand.
Probably Amelia's hand.
This would explain why he's a believer in love.
There's so much I want to say here, but I can't.
Yeah, but no, that... I mean, I remember the first... I saw that, and it was a blink and you miss it kind of thing. And that's kind of... It's kind of annoying that it was a blink and you miss it kind of thing, even though it happened twice in the movie.
Yeah, and, like, it definitely feels like... We can go into this more in like the overall thoughts, but yeah. It definitely feels like this OVA is trying to just hype up season two.
Yeah.
And because like a lot of this stuff that's like in this OVA is stuff that's actually explored deeper in season two or will be explored further in season two in what it adapts. So it's like, okay, here's a half a second taste of what to expect that only, like, the people who have read the light novels will actually understand. Yeah, where were we with weird fire spirit guy? Oh, yeah, he says, like, he reveals to Amelia that, like, Amelia is a half-elf, because, like, she didn't know that, and that's basically why she didn't stay frozen like everyone else. Like, because, like, she was able to break out of it, because, like, the freezing only really affected pure elves.
Yeah, that's what it looked like in all the flashy back stuff.
I mean, she was frozen, too, she just got out.
Yeah, but, like, the reasoning that they give is, like, because she's a half-elf.
Right.
Yeah, so, like, Amelia tries to, like, fight back against the spirit, and it doesn't really work. But just in time, she calls Puck's name, and Puck shows up, like Puck does, and becomes a total Chad.
Yes, but before that, like, she even asks him, why did you kill, like, the minor spirits? And she's like, because they mean nothing to me. I'm after you.
Mediation fam.
I know how to do mediation, you guys. Let's kill everything in the way.
She also asks him this later again, but yeah.
His answers are always the same, too. It's so
Well, actually, no. The answer was different with the bandit guy. Because he said, I did it because I wanted to see you cry the first time.
Okay, true.
I guess that is a sign
that, like, yeah, his soul kind of intertwined with the powers.
Yes.
God, this OVA is so dumb.
I feel like there's something I'm missing here because it's like an adaptation of a book and the book's not in English.
Well, it's not even a book. It's like a short story. So like, yeah. you can very much tell this is just kind of an extra goodie for like...
Here's the thing I noticed with this. If you dissect the plot, it's absolutely ridiculous.
Okay.
But this OVA is more an examination of Amelia and Puck as characters than it is... a plot.
That makes sense because, yeah, plot-wise, ultimately, Butthole Spirit is Butthole Spirit. Puck is best dad. Puck kicks ass.
At the same time, I feel like we didn't really need this to establish any of those relationship dynamics.
It does feel like it's teasing at some things to come. The only big thing that I got out of this...
I mean, we should probably
finish the plot before we get to that big thing. I know, because you spoiled it for me before I got to it.
Wait,
you're about to spoil it for everyone before we get to it here.
Wait. Laser, what did you do?
I thought he was done before he was done.
Okay, this is the first instance of the dumb weeb jail. Go to the dumb weeb jail, Laser.
I'll go hang out there and wait to get replaced by someone else.
Anyways, Puck decides to be a Chad and beats up the bandit fire spirit abomination. But then, wait, what, Allison?
I wish they kind of did the OVA Sakuga hype shitstorm that they usually do with home video animes, but they didn't.
Well, they sorted it here. Like, the Puck scenes are the most well-animated part of the OVA, But, like, nothing in it is really anything of higher, like, fluidity than, like, say, like, the most hype parts of, like, the TV anime.
Yeah, so, but I mean, like, they could have shown, like, giant-ass cat puck lion dude snowing and, like, biting the crap out of Fire Horse. That would have been cool.
I guess. But instead, after, like, Puck defeats the banded Fire Spirit, Mila Kiera's shadow clones show up and, fatally wound Puck, and Puck's, like, mana starts leaking out of his body, because that's what happens when you're a spirit.
Yeah, that was depressing.
Yeah.
That was pretty sad, yeah.
I mean, honestly, it would have held more weight if we, like, didn't already know that Puck is alive after this.
What? Puck's alive, J-Mac? You spoiled the OVA! Okay.
Now you get to join me in jail. It's fun. I've got some manga we can read.
The question is, what manga?
No, if you're in jail for that comment, I'm in the just visiting portion of that jail.
Yeah, J-Mac has a 1 hour pass.
I mean, I didn't actually tell you anything that big, honestly.
Nothing in this is
big.
True. I think the comment was literally something to the effect of, she's not a witch or something like that.
Well, yeah, of course she's not a witch. Than that,
but anyway, it was more than that. But
it was something along those lines. Anyway, yeah.
The truly riveting plot.
Yes, the most important, complicated plot I've ever seen in an anime.
Anyways, Mila Kiera, like, keeps doing his usual thing of saying, like, Amelia must die, kill the half-demon, yadda-yadda.
Kill the heretic, kill it! To save the world, I must mediate. Do you know what mediation means, sir?
Yeah. This guy's, like, the greatest mediator ever. He's gonna get a Nobel Prize for this. Anyways, after more of Mila Kiera's boring talking, Puck and Amelia, in order to save their own lives, they have to form a contract. And Amelia's kind of surprised about this, because, like, essentially Puck's just been hanging around Amelia this entire time without really any intention of forming a contract. And that kind of, like, heeds back to those, like, words that we saw earlier, like, his past will be lost and stuff. So they form the contract, and Puck assumes his giant beast form that we saw from Arc 3. And it's pretty badass, and he starts beating the crap out of Mila Kiera. Like that dumb Rapidash ripoff deserves.
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
I'm glad I'm not the only one who thought it looked like Rapidash.
It's literally a Rapidash ripoff. But anyways, eventually, yeah, Puck kills Mila Kiera, and peace is restored.
Yay! Being animated, damn it!
And then he gets he tells her, "Hey, I'm your dad."
Well, okay. No, she tells him, "It's like you're my father," and then he bursts into laughter because
she's already told him that once before.
Yeah, and we get like a little flashback when like Puck
that mysterious dream thing that she's been.
Yes,
having.
We all thought it was a woman talking. No, it was just Puck.
And then we all cry like little bitches because sadness.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing that I really liked after that was the post-credit scene.
Yeah, so, like, it's essentially assumed that this is, like, a reminiscing that Amelia's doing after the Memory Snow OVA, which is why, like, all, like, the snow sculptures are still in, like, the Rosewall Manor, like, court area. And, like, Subaru has been trying to keep one of the sculptures kind of intact, and it's one that's of a family, kind of like the one like she would take care of back on the mountains, and that makes her very happy.
Subaru unintentionally makes him very happy.
I didn't have time to go back and confirm this, but part of me wondered if that was the family that like she accidentally killed.
I did wonder
the beginning
that
of the OVA.
I thought it was her mom and dad. That was her as a tiny princess, whatever.
But it's supposed to be like the actual.
The actual people. Person. It's not a sculpture. It's a frozen person.
Yeah, they're the frozen elves, like the literal frozen bodies of the elves.
Well, that is dark, I guess.
I mean, they were surrounding her in that forest the whole time, and yeah, it's pretty dark, really, if you think about it.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the end of the OVA.
Yay, we got through the...
Yeah, I remember, I think it was either Sketch or Duelist told me that this wasn't worth watching, and I should have listened to them.
I wish I had known, but...
The ReZero completionist inside me made me go through it.
I feel like it's not
necessarily
worth
say it wasn't worth watching, because there were definitely some good. It did definitely hit on some good emotional notes, and it did definitely kind of explore the characters of Amelia and Puck. But at the same time, it felt like a lot of the plot was a bunch of contrivances in order to tell us these things. And that's where it kind of messed up. Like, you can have a character-driven plot, but that they have to work together. This felt like the plot existed entirely as a device to tell us about these characters.
Yeah, and I think the big problem there is that, like, most of this stuff is done better in the actual series later on. So you can blatantly tell at times that this is like a media tie-in, like story that's being adapted here. And it's really just like exists to kind of just hype up what's going to happen in later story arcs. It's just like, hey, this is a taste of what you can expect from all the good parts of ReZero.
The big thing that this answered for me was whether or not Amelia knew that Puck could turn giant crazy, and the answer is yes. Yes, she does.
Yes, and so now it's time for me to share. So, like, that directive he was given, you know, if you interfere too much in her life, you'll cease to be yourself.
Does that make more sense in the book?
I wouldn't know.
I mean, it will later in season two, like everything. But
I feel like we didn't see long enough into it to see what that would have meant. So we didn't see the payoff for that. All we heard was Puck say, yeah, screw fate. I'm going to make my own decisions.
Right.
Which honestly is the whole theme of ReZero anyway.
Yes, it definitely fits that.
But I feel like there was definitely a consequence to it, but we just didn't see it this time.
I mean, I also don't see it given, I literally see no differences between the way Puck acts in the OVA versus how he acts in the series.
All I'll say is, like, all the scenarios where Amelia died in, like, Arc 3 and, like, Puck would just go on to kill everything, that's tied into that.
Alright.
Yeah, I feel like Puck was what he was in Arc 3 because Amelia was dead.
Possible, definitely.
I could be talking out my ass here, but I feel like that's why.
I mean, that makes sense to me. I don't necessarily think it has to be that, though, because, I mean, what he did there was, to me, right, just struck him as being pissed off, which clearly he could do in the OVA as well.
I think he could probably do it more freely in the OVA, though.
I feel like this whole thing was just made, like, in between when Season 1 finished ending / before Isekai Quartet became a thing. And the animators were just like, hey, we'll just make some more ReZero while we wait for Season 2 to come out.
Yeah, I mean, it's very clear that this is kind of a stopgap, like the last OVA, where it's like, here's more ReZero content, anime fans. Go at it.
And you know, if you really like ReZero, it's something.
Like, if you're starving for ReZero content, this isn't necessarily the best thing from the series by far, but it's not, like, a terrible watch. It's just kind of boring.
It's definitely something I'd say is for the diehards.
I wouldn't even say it's for the diehard. I'd say it's just, like, if you want a time killer.
Well, yeah, no, like, if you're hearing this podcast in the future, and Season 2 is already out, just go watch Season 2.
Yeah, honestly, I think we'll have a way more fun time talking about Season 2, because Season 2 is going to be so good.
I'm both hyped, but I'm also like, will Season 2 get a dub in a timely manner? Because that's complicated with the Funimation Crunchyroll madness.
Probably not.
Yeah, that's what I was afraid of.
You'll have to join the sub side.
You've also got that final scene that they added to it. in your mind, laser.
Yes,
but J-Mac, who's Rem? Who's Rem?
You guys are killing me here.
Sounds like something that dumb weeb's like.
Yeah, yeah, that would fit. I don't really have a waifu, but if I had a waifu, it would be Rem.
But Laser, if the dub doesn't come out on time, will you cave in and watch the sub?
Probably. I mean, I watch a sub of this, so if I watch a sub of this, I think I can handle the sub of something actually, like, high quality.
When was season 2 supposed to come out? Because I feel like it was supposed to be now. But because of real-life circumstances, I don't know what's coming out and what's not coming out.
So yeah. As of us recording this, season 2 comes out in, like, 2 weeks.
Ooh. Oh. Well, I do have Verve at the moment. That's how I watch this. So, yay!
Yeah, it'll be a fun and depressing time, depending on what episode it is.
That's the thing I do really like about ReZero, is it's all about that journey, because it gets dark and depressing, and I'm sure it's going to get worse at points.
Oh, it's going to get so much worse, Laser.
But it will also, but there's also the highs afterwards, which I always look forward to.
Yeah, there's always a light at the end of the tunnel. No matter how long that cave is.
And that's, I think, what I love about ReZero the most. Because anybody can write a dark, depressing story. It's not hard. It's called just being in life. But being able to write a dark, depressing story that has that light at the end of the tunnel, that's cool.
Yeah, and I guess tying back into this OVA, I think that's one thing that this OVA still like does well, like, and that's kind of where you can tell, like, yeah, it's a ReZero story, because you see Amelia kind of, like, achieving some, like, grasp of happiness by the end of this, despite all her struggles. And that's at least a good message at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Besides, I have this image of, mental image of Puck writing on Facebook, "I'm your dad now."
Oh my god.
You're welcome. You're welcome for that.
I forget what the fairy SAO daughter is.
Oh, God. Yui.
Yeah, at least it's not... at least Puck didn't say, "Call me dad."
Oh, God. Yeah.
Anyways.
That's a whole other discussion, but... Yeah.
Anyways, I think we've talked enough about this OVA.
If we were to rate it out of 10, what would you guys rate it at?
Yeah, I'll give it a 6.
6.5, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would too. As a character thing, it's definitely... If you're really, really into ReZero and want to watch it all, I would definitely say give it a watch. It's not bad.
Oh yeah, no, it ain't bad. And if you like a character like super focused and you don't really care about the plot, it's great.
Yeah. What about you, V-Lord? What would you give it?
As much as I ripped on it, I would also probably give it a 6. Because, like, there's nothing inherently bad here. Like, it's just really meandering and boring at times.
They don't really let Amelia do things aside from being princess plot.
Yeah, and I think part of it, too, is because I've read the light novels. Like, when you know, like, a lot of this stuff that they're alluding to is not going to be fully answered going in, it kind of just, like, is setting you up for disappointment in a way.
Yeah, so, it felt like it was teasing at things.
And
it
felt
like it was, like, saying, yeah, like, you might find out the answers to these things. But, like, anyone with, like, a solid understanding of how plot typically works, they would know that, no... We probably won't know these things because there's still a lot more material out there that was made before this was made.
And you're not going to get the answer in a one-off side story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only thing I really feel
watch
like...
If you, like, just are bored and need something to watch and you really like ReZero, but it's not going to be, like, a life-changing OVA.
Yeah. Plus, if you are going to watch this, go watch Memory Snow first. Memory Snow is actually good, and it's pretty funny. It has some really great
Memory Snow.
Yeah, we haven't seen that. J-Mac, we should do that this weekend.
Yeah, it has some really great scenes with Rem.
That makes me want to see it. Yeah. That puts that on my list. I didn't know that that existed until after I watched this one, so.
But yeah, I guess that's about it here. So, yeah. Let's plug our stuff. Yeah. J-Mac, right. Where can people find you?
Gosh, it's been so long since I've plugged my stuff that I've kind of fallen out of the template of it. You can find me on Twitter at IzzyGayDrag. You can find me on YouTube at JMacAfreak. So you can pretty much find me everywhere but Twitter as the same name as pretty much. So YouTube, Twitch. YouTube, Twitch. Yeah. Places everywhere but Twitter as JMacAfreak.
Cool.
If you look for me on Twitter, you'll find a steaming crater in the ground.
But Laser, where can people find you?
How people can find me on Twitter at LaserKidPrime, and if all goes the way I'm hoping to start up a YouTube again. I'm LaserKid on YouTube. Right now there's literally nothing there, but I'm working on some things.
Awesome. And Allison, where can people find you?
That's me out 900 on Twitter.com. Where can they find you, me lord?
People can find me on Twitter at VLordGTZ. I'm usually on there talking about whatever I'm up to, which is usually reading manga, writing reviews, and not sleeping. Just kind of that cycle of things. And also buying manga that I'm probably not going to read for a while, because I like wasting money. But you can also find my writing over on all-comic.com. I write manga and light novel reviews over there. And then you can also find my anime reviews and articles about Toonami on ToonamiFaithful.com. So check out those too. I also host the Demon Slayer podcast, which can be found on Twitter at DSlayerPodcast. And I also now host the Act Dodge podcast, which can be found on Twitter at Act Dodge Podcast. And both those podcasts are streaming on basically everything at this point, or at least at the point of this being released. So just go find it, look them up, subscribe, and enjoy the episodes. But yay. As far as this podcast goes, we don't have anything for it yet, because this is a pilot episode.
Oh, like we're flying an airplane.
Essentially, yes. So whenever we make a Twitter page and an anchor host thing for it, we will talk about it. But for now, we have nothing. Yay, pilot.
Yay, pilot.
So yeah, we will see you guys later if there is a next time.
Bye-bye.